good morning, everybody. Wow, what a great way to start this Friday. You didn't have to, Lord, but you did. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to create me, but you did. You didn't have to guide me. You didn't have to sustain me. You didn't have to answer my prayers. You didn't have to bless me, but you did. And I won't forget it. That's the attitude, and that's the behavior that we should have. That's the sentiment and the feeling that we should have towards our God. And I won't forget it. I'll tell you what, somebody in the chat, Eileen said, was talking about Drew. So I try to, I've really been trying to step up my game here at the company. There's been a lot of things that I've been slacking on, and I'll tell you them. I've been slacking on correspondence back with the LFA family. It's very difficult to do. You really have to like schedule and car time out for it, or else you'll never do it, which means you have to take away from somewhere else. But I've been slacking there. I've been slacking on our audio podcast, getting up every show on an audio podcast for everybody. I've been slacking on, making sure that I watch as many of the shows on LFA TV as I possibly can, or at least have them on in the background and listen to them. But so yesterday I was trying to like play Superman, and I was trying to do all these things that I have been slacking on, and not because I'm lazy, just because there's so much to do and we don't have any resources to hire people, so we have to do them all. But yesterday I said, you know what, I'm going to listen to some shows. I'm going to get some audio podcasts done. And so I listened to a number of shows or watched on LFA TV yesterday. And Drew Hernandez last night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time had one heck of a show. And I'll tell you what, if you are a God-fearing, God-loving, God-seeking person, then you might want to start catching some of Drew Hernandez's show at 7 p.m. Because the Holy Spirit was calling him last night. He had an entire show planned and ended up talking about idols and the Lord and Scripture for the entire hour. And I'm okay with that. As a news organization and somebody who's running it, I'm okay with that. Jupoff said you need an assistant to delegate tasks. Again, we don't have the ability to do that. And that assistant needs to be right here with me. So it can't be somebody who fills in and says, hey, I'll help for free from somewhere else. It just doesn't work that way. So the fact that he went completely off script, not that we have much of a script, but we do have a show outline, and we are a news organization, so we want to get the news out throughout the day as it goes. I was 100% okay with that. I mean, who is anybody to tell anybody they can't stop what they're doing and literally preach? And that's what he did last night. And it was weird because I never, ever am free at that time. I never have the ability to watch LFA TV or any TV at 7 p.m. It's just not possible usually. But last night, it worked out to where it was. And I was making dinner. Well, I was making a salad for me and my wife. And, you know, I was hard-boiling eggs and cutting up vegetables. So it took me quite a while because, you know, I'm not fast at that stuff. I decided, you know, I'm going to pop on Drew. And I was on Will's show too for a little while. And I popped on. I got to tell you, man, wow, you got to go back and watch that. If you love Rise Up, go back and watch that show. Big shout out to Drew for listening to the Holy Spirit and just doing what he needed to do. And I just thought that was, I went to bed last night thinking, wow, LFA TV is, it might not be and will never be a large network. Let's face it. We just don't have the ability or the manpower or the resources or the money coming in. But does it need to be? Are we making a difference where we are? Have we carved out a niche where we are? And are we making a difference where it really matters? And I would say yes. I would say where it really matters, yes, I think we are. And he even said that in his show last night when he was getting ready to end. He said, you know, I've been on many networks. This is what he was saying. He said, I know Jeremy has too. And he said, every time you really start getting into the gospel, they come around and that's when they say, hey, we're going to lose sponsors. You want to tone down. And that's, I'm telling you to turn up. I'm not telling you when it comes to Jesus, I'm not telling you to tone down. I'm telling you to turn up. You know what I mean? So turn up and beats, right? Turn up some beats. Based America, Drew Hernandez Live, his channel on Rumble. Yeah, it's at 7 p.m. But it was really cool. It was really cool. So you guys might want to check that out. Today's show, Workers of Iniquity, might be the most scary verse in the Bible for anybody seeking God, any Christian, anybody going to church. It may be the most very, the very scariest verse that there is in the Bible. And today we're going to go to Matthew for that. Now, I want to apologize. The last few days we haven't gotten a newsletter out. As you know, as you can imagine, it's just with, there's a lot going on. And so I didn't get the newsletter out to give you guys a precursor on what the verse of the day is. But I'll tell you now, the verse of the day today is going to come from Matthew 7:23. So if you do have your Bibles nearer, and I assume you do, open up to Matthew 7:23. Drew said many times people get in difficult times and blame God instead of getting closer to him. Oh, I mean, that's you. That's exactly what happens. That's, look, that's Satan at his best, if he has one, is when he's got you blaming God for what's going on to you. I'm telling you, that's Satan at his, well, we would call it his worst, but his best, right? Jeremy, you will have the manpower. This is God's network, and he will provide. Don't limit God. Wendell, you're very right. You're 100% right. This network or this station or this podcast or whatever will grow on God's time, not ours. So you are 100% right about that. Eileen says, Based America, 7 p.m. That's right, and his channel as well. Those who promote peace have joy. Proverbs 12:20 says L.M. Burkowski. Well, let's talk about today's program, but in doing so, let's start out by going to the Lord in prayer, okay? Please join me. Jennifer, you can sign up for the newsletter on jeremyharrell.com. Just go to jeremyharrell.com, scroll to the bottom, and it'll say Join the Revolution newsletter, okay? All right. Father God, today we're going to be talking about something very, very important and something very scary if people don't grasp what it really means. There's so many references to the behavior of sin in the Bible, Lord, but there are so many different words that are used. And today I really would love to have help focusing on those words. Sin, iniquity, transgression. Sound very similar, but are different. Lord, please dwell with us today in this fellowship that we have here on Rise Up. Albeit digital, we are still gathered in your name. Lord, dwell with us today. Be with us today. Guide us today. Send the Holy Spirit to not only touch each and every person listening and watching, but also to connect, Lord, each and every person that is listening and watching. Lord, we have faith and trust that everything is done according to your will on your time. And we want to remind everybody listening and watching that patience is the key. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this ability. Thank you for the fact that we could do this in this country. And we pray that we can consistently and continuously spread the gospel to all who will hear it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're talking about sin. I want to go to the verse that we're focusing on today, and that is, again, Matthew 7:23. So if you can open your Bibles to Matthew 7:23, I'll go and I'll read that for you now. But I want to read it from multiple different sources, or I should say multiple different versions. And I always like to start myself personally, and you might be different, and that's okay. Just make sure that you are praying for discernment to decide which translation or version of the Bible not only speaks to you best, but make sure that it's speaking truth and it's not removing major things. And that's only discerned over time in the Word, spending time reading different versions, comparing. That's your homework. But the English Standard Version says, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping." Folks, if Jesus says to depart from him, you worker of evil, that's it. There is no going back. That's why it is the scariest verse in the Bible. Now, some versions will say iniquity. The Complete Jewish Bible says, "My vision is darkened with anger." Oh, hold on one second. Complete Jewish Bible says, "Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness." Let's go to the 1599 Geneva Bible. "And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's go to the King James Version and see what that says. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And just because we have these ability to go to all these different things, let's go to the NLT, something I don't read much, but I will reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who broke God's laws." You know how we focus on the life of Jesus? And we see that Jesus is the most all-forgiving, most compassionate, kindest person that ever lived. There's very few times Jesus said, "Get away from me." And you notice that when he does say it in the Bible, he's speaking to the likes of Satan. Do you want Jesus saying to you the same things that he says to Satan? If you're standing in front of Jesus, would you rather have him saying the things that he was saying to the disciples and to the people who trusted fully and faithfully in him? Or would you want him to say the things that he said when he spoke to Satan? To you, because that's what he's going to say. He's going to say, "Depart from me, get away from me, remove yourself from me, be gone from me." Jesus doesn't say that to anybody whom he loves or who loves him. Now, a lot of people would say that sin, iniquity, and transgression are all the same thing. That's like saying nice, kind, and compassionate are all the same things. They're not. They're similar. You can draw similarities between them. But what a lot of people don't understand is Jesus didn't come to be nice. Jesus was not nice. Jesus was kind and Jesus was compassionate, but he wasn't nice. If he was nice, he would tell everybody what they wanted to hear. He would not be candid in any way, shape, or form. He would be reserved and he would be quiet and censor himself so that he could be nice to you so that your feelings would not be hurt. That's not what Jesus was. Now, did he say candid things that needed to be said in a respectful way? 100%. 100%. So when we talk about the word sin and iniquity, sin is behavior. Sin is something that you do and you sin. You do this sin because you behaved in a way that you should not have behaved in. You said something you should not have said. You thought something you should not have thought. You did something that you should not have did. You hurt somebody that you should not have hurt. You hated somebody you should not have hated. It is an action. It is a behavioral action on your part from within or on the outside. T. Greenwalt, Eli gave a gift from God, $20 donation. Thank you so very much for that. We appreciate you very much. Sin is a behavior and action. Iniquity. What is that? Well, iniquity and sin are synonymous, but they're also different. And to understand iniquity, you have to go back to the Hebrew translation. Little David has been on a mission. Second batch of crosses Sabrina sent him. He passed out over 40 of them, letting people know they are a gift from God and a message of hope. Little David, you're going to grow up to be one of God's favored people. Probably already are. Let's go back and get into the word iniquity after I have some of this coffee here. Race Mom, lunch for you and Eli, $40. Well, she knows how much lunch costs because that's about what it is. Love the LFA family. We will take you up on that. Anytime somebody says, go have lunch, we do our best to go do that. If it's not that day, it is another day because we know we need that sometime. Eli and I's lunch break consists of walking out of the studio, right, Eli? Going to the bathroom, grabbing a new coffee, grabbing a new drink, grabbing something quick to eat, and walking back in here while we're eating it to go back to work. He said last night before he left to go home, or maybe I said it, but we were talking about it. I said, we could literally be here 24/7 and never stop working. If the news never stops, and the gospel never, and the good news never stops, then I guess we could never stop if we could do that. I want to get into iniquity. And to do that, you're going to need to know three Hebrew words, okay? Now, it's going to take you some time to dig into this. Because when you use search engines, they're going to try to direct you towards other words. Don't allow that to happen. You will find the meaning of these words that I'm about to tell you. And I know this because I did. I went and I dug and I dug and I dug for the actual Hebrew word and pronunciation of these alphabets, letters, that describe iniquity in the old Hebrew translation, which is what the Old Testament was written in, okay? Now, remember I always say garbage in, garbage out. What you put in your life is what you will become. Who you hang around with is who you will become. The behavior that people around you engage in, if you are around that, if you take it in, if you soak it in, if garbage goes in, thank you, Al Dooley, I appreciate that, then garbage will come out. You will represent garbage. You will be an ambassador of trash. Is that what you'd like to be? I have stopped watching movies. I have stopped listening to certain music. I've definitely stopped listening to certain bands. I stopped watching my favorite actors. I stopped watching sports because I don't want garbage going in. And I darn sure don't want garbage coming out. So, another word for sin that people like to use is iniquity. you go back to the original Hebrew that the Old Testament was written in, there's more than one word used. Iniquity. Sin. Transgression. The word iniquity is a really interesting word because in the original Hebrew, it breaks up into three letters. And those three letters are Avav, A-V-A-V, Abet, A-B-E-T, and Anun, A-N-U-N. I'll say those again. Remember, our alphabet is consisting of letters that have one symbol, basically. Well, their letters consist of symbols that have multiple sounds in them. So, Avav, A-V-A-V, Avav, Abet, A-B-E-T, and Anun, A-N-U-N. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what the letters, these words mean, these letters mean, and it's going to be very difficult for you to find these letters, but you will find them. Because there's so many different variations. There's Ava instead of Avav. There's Aval with like a W sound, which is not the same thing. So like I said, you're going to have to dig deep. But here you go. Avav, A-V-A-V, is an eye being opened. So if you were to say in Old Hebrew, Avav, they would think, they would say that you are talking about an eye being opened. Okay? We're breaking down the word iniquity so you understand what iniquity really means or what it was meant for when it was written. Avav is an eye being opened. Abet, A-B-E-T, is a fish hook. The act of fish hooking. Abet. So now you have Avav, which is an eye being opened. You have Abet, A-B-E-T, which is how we pronounce it, which is a symbol over there, but means basically the act of fish hooking or a fish hook, okay? And then the last one, Anun, A-N-U-N. And Anun is the idea of multiplying. And when you talk about fish, fish multiply big time. So you have the eye opening, you have the hook or fish hook or the act of fish hooking, and then you have Anun, which is the idea of multiplying like fish multiplying. And so the word iniquity, really and pictorially, if you were to look at it like a picture, means whatever your opening eye hooks into will multiply in your life. So when you're breaking down an actual meaning of a word in a language like Hebrew, it's very different than the English language, which is how we reason and how we rectify and how we come up with something. But that's what it means. Avav Abet Anun. Avav Abet Anun. Whatever your eye is open to will fish hook you, pull you in, reel you in, and will multiply in your life. Now you know the difference between sin and iniquity. I thought they were the same word. I thought they were the same word or the same meaning from two different words, and it's just not. Now again, there's a lot of similarities, and one leads to another, and you can't have one without the other. However, the meaning of words is so, we've talked about this many times, both here and on Live from America. And they've changed the meaning of words over time. Now you're starting to really understand what it means. UrbanDictionary.com says Anun, A-N-U-N, is a modern language for transsexual. How revolting. See what I mean? You see what I mean? Let's keep going here. And so if you realize that what you set your mind on and your vision on and what you give your attention and affection to, whatever you hook your appetite into, that's going to grow and that is going to multiply in your life. So now it's not so much about this behavior being bad or this behavior being wrong or that behavior being basically walking the line. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now that you understand that, it's not so much about the behaviors and being wrong or bad. It's about you need to understand that you're responsible. You are going to be responsible for whatever grows in your life and whatever multiplies in your life based on where you focus your appetite and your affections. So, if you do nothing but listen to gangster rap, that's going to multiply in your life. You're going to act like that. You're going to talk like that. If you do nothing but hang around liars, cheaters, thieves, people who hate, adulterers, drunkards, it's going to multiply in your life because you are focused on it. You ever heard that? You are what you eat. You become who you are around with. You become what you consume. Garbage in, garbage out. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It's over. Like the Sopranos. Get used to it at that point. Avav Abet Anun. Whatever your eye is open to will fish hook you and then grow and multiply in your life. What an astounding revelation. What an absolute astounding revelation. And Jennifer says it right there. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Are we not grateful for this message today? Can I get an amen? Can I get a share? Can I get a rumble at you today? Can you sign in, follow the page if you haven't? Make sure you and your friends are equally yoked. Jennifer, you are speaking the word of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you. What a beautiful devotional, says Amanda. Thank you so very much. You are the company you keep. These words come from somewhere. You're right, Michelle. Do we get to do transgression too? Well, I didn't dig deep enough into transgression because I was digging deep into the word iniquity because of the verse, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But I think we should get into transgression on Monday. What do you think? Would you like to get into the word transgression on Monday? I would. Because I don't just want to talk about it and look it up. I want to dig deep into it. I want to find the real meanings of it, like we did iniquity today. And I dug for that one, man. Words. Meanings. The words that are in the Bible. Every single syllable means something different than a lot of people will try to teach us today, guys. I'm telling you that. And I'll tell you what, you guys should, if you follow Drew Hernandez anywhere, you should take this link and give it to him. Because I watched his show last night. I have a feeling that if he watched today's show, it would just multiply the blessings in his life from what he did last night. That's what I think. Holy Spirit is on the move. Amen. Well, folks, guess what? You know it's Friday, right? You know it's Comfort Friday, right? I love you too, Lolo. JV, you're a great teacher. All glory to God. I just learned it. I'm just reporting what I learn every day. I'm not really a teacher. So you get to watch what happens with me on my journey, right? Jeremy, what you're learning in Hebrew is awesome. There is such a depth of Hebrew. The word, the letter of each word. Yeah, I know. It's so much different than our language. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? We have two Ray Comfort videos today. And I don't want to keep talking because there's somebody who can talk a lot better than I can. And he goes by the name of Mr. Ray Comfort. So, without any further ado, I don't want to keep the man waiting. The man, the myth, the legend, all doing it for God. So I guess all glory goes to God. Two videos today, folks. Here we go.
I think so, yeah.
Can you think straight?
Yeah, I can.
He asked
17
if he was high.
And 11.
17 and 11?
He asked him,
Eric,
if he was high.
If you were God for a day, how would you change humanity?
I wouldn't change it.
Keep it the same with all the rape and murder and wars?
Yeah. I learned in the Hermetic principles that everything is binary, gender, opposites. So the ultra good will have to meet the ultra bad. Life is complete, and it's up to us to put people back in their place.
If you were God for a day, what would you change about humanity?
People's perspective on other people and how other people are treated. People of different genders are treated differently, or people of different race are treated differently than other people.
So you're talking about prejudice?
Pretty much, yes.
And racism?
Yes.
Is that all you'd change?
Well, in my perspective, yes. That's the main thing I would like to change if I were God for a day.
What about dealing with wars? What about rapists? What about sickness? What about cancer? So how would you fix evil in the world? What would you do? Big problem for you, isn't it, being God for a day?
Yes, it is kind of difficult being a God for a day.
It's not a God. This is the God, the creator of the universe. Do you believe in God?
Yeah.
Do you know what the first and greatest of all commandments is?
No.
It is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you should have empathy for other people. Is there anything you love more than you love God?
I love my parents a lot.
You love them more than you love God?
Most likely, yes.
Do you know that that's a sin, according to the Bible? Let me tell you what it is. Years ago, I purchased a television set for my kids when they were real little. Got home that night, and they didn't even come to greet me because they were watching television. I'd become a non-event. So I turned the TV off and said, I got that TV as a gift for you because I love you. But if it comes between you and me, it's going. It's a wrong order of affections. You're loving the gift more than the giver. And if you love your parents more than you love God, you're loving the gift more than the giver. Mm. Jesus put it this way, unless you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and your own life, you cannot be my disciple. That's called hyperbole, where you contrast two different things for emphasis. You use the word hate against the word love. Well, he was saying that your love for God should be so great because he gave you life that your love for your own life, your mom and dad, your brother and your sister, should seem like hate compared to the love you have for the God that gave you those things. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
You think there's a heaven and a hell?
Definitely.
Where are you going?
Well, if I were God, I would know, but...
Well, he's given us his word, the Bible. That tells us what's going to happen after we die. This is what the scriptures say. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How are you going to do on judgment day? Are you a good person?
Yes, I am.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A bunch.
Stolen anything?
Some things.
You say you love God. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I have.
That's using God's name as a cuss word. Would you do that with your mum's name?
No.
No, because you respect her, but you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it to cuss. So, how are you doing with the other commandments? Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
In what way, lust, do you mean?
Well, when did you last look at pornography?
It was accidental, actually. It was an accidental website my friend sent me.
You had sex before marriage?
Yep.
You've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by those 10 commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I'd feel I'd be guilty then.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Yeah.
Gotta fix that right now.
Israel, it horrifies me. I've just met you, but I love you. I don't want you to end up in hell. But you know what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
He got crucified.
Do you understand the legal implications of that?
No.
Most people have heard of that, but they haven't heard this. And Israel, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law, but Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, "It is finished," just before he died. He was saying, "Paid in full." If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. He'll say, "You're out of here, someone's paid your fine." Even though you're guilty, you walk, and it's legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you and let you live forever. He can forgive your sins in an instant, wash you clean, and grant you everlasting life as a free gift, all because of that death and resurrection. And all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins. That's where you acknowledge your sins and say, "Yeah, I've done things I know are morally wrong," and you turn from those sins, and then you trust in Jesus, like you trust a parachute. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To make sure I don't hit the ground.
Yeah, and your motivation is fear. You don't want to die. And that fear is your friend, not your enemy. And Leo, because I care about you, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy. Because it'll drive you into meaning business with God, where you repent of your sins, trust in Jesus, and find everlasting life. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
You got to think about what we talked about?
Definitely.
If you died today, God forbid, you'd end up in hell. There are two things you must do to be saved: repent and trust in Jesus. When are you going to do that?
Starting today.
You serious?
Yeah.
So you're sorry for your sins?
Definitely.
So you're giving up the battle and saying, "God, I need you to change me. I need you to wash me clean, and I give you my life because you're the creator of my life." Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Can I pray with you?
Yeah.
Want a barren prayer? Father, I thank you for Israel. Thank you for his prepared heart and his honesty. I pray this day he'll catch a glimpse of his own sins, his secret sins, and your holiness, and what you did through the cross, and what you did through the resurrection. And this day may he be born again and pass from death to life, all because of your great mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have a Bible at home?
Yeah.
Has it got dust on it?
I guess, yeah.
It's God's love letter to you, Israel. Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
What a beautiful name he has.
If you want, yeah.
Yeah, I want to. Okay, let me get it for you. Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Look how happy he was to hear the word. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What a beautiful name he had, too. Let's go back to the guy who's super stoned.
Who tells us what he does. The God of this world blinds the minds of those that believe not to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So open your heart, repent, trust in Jesus, so we'll see you in heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Great to talk to you. Can I give you a gift?
Is it a Bible?
No, it's a book I wrote called Scientific Facts in the Bible. You might find it interesting.
Oh yeah, I would like that.
The reason I still witness to someone when they're high is because Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say to avoid anyone. And our labor is never in vain. I've heard of plenty of people coming to Christ despite the fact they heard the gospel when they were high.
That's true. And not only that, ladies and gentlemen, it's what better way to get them? What better way to approach somebody than when they're like that? Truly remarkable. All right. Second Ray Comfort video, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully we have enough time for it. He had two this week, so we got to make sure that we're, you know, quick.
On the list of gotcha questions has to be, who made God? While it's often posed as a statement rather than a question, it carries an erroneous assumption that God was made. Despite this, let's take a few moments to answer the question, firstly using scripture and then using the discoveries of science. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." This verse emphasizes God's eternal existence, existing before the creation of the universe. Let's now relate the concept of the Creator's eternality to the concept of the infinitude of space. Most scientists believe that space, as the Bible says of God, has no beginning and no end. One reason for this belief is its evident expansion. They have discovered that the universe is constantly expanding because of galaxies moving away from each other. This has been observed and measured by astronomers, providing evidence that space is indeed stretching out. More than 2,500 years ago, the Bible describes the stretching out of space. It tells us that God is the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Isaiah 40 verse 22 also says that God stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. While their minds can't begin to understand that space never has an end, this concept is accepted without question by most scientists. This is because the thought that space has an ending isn't accepted for a moment. If there is an ending, what lies beyond it? So logic demands its infinitude, and that's how science logically deals with a concept, and that's how logic deals with the creator of space having neither beginning nor end. We can conclude that the universe goes on forever because it reflects the infinite nature of its creator, stretching out way beyond our comprehension. If you like science, make sure you stay until the end. This is because we'll look at an amazing scientific fact written in the Bible about the dinosaur thousands of years before man even discovered their existence.
I'm going to go have a good time. If there's some all-seeing, all-knowing being, he's a sick person.
Why?
Again, why would you allow that to happen?
So why is it morally wrong to lie and steal? Where's your basis for your morals?
Basis for my morals is just simply being a good person. It has nothing to do with, I believe in some higher power is going to send me to heaven or hell because of what I've done. We as a human species have rational thought. If you went into the animal kingdom, it's absolutely what happens.
Now, we've seen this guy before in an actual video of just this guy, but it looks like Ray's put this testimony back into one of his videos talking about, you know, the knowledge of all this. So, you know, bear with us.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. As an atheist, do you really believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything? Now, let me qualify that. It's not that there was nothing in the beginning, but nothing gave us flowers and birds and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, puppies, kittens, male and female, the miracle of the human eye, the marvel of childbirth. All these things came into being because nothing created them. That's scientifically impossible.
Is it?
Of course it is.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, nothing can't create anything because it's nothing.
If there is an all-omnipotent being, he's sure one sick person.
Why?
What just happened where I live in Cleveland, Ohio? Some lady goes on vacation and leaves her infant at home alone by herself to die. But I'm going to go have a good time. If there's some all-seeing, all-knowing being, he's a sick person.
Why?
Again, why would you allow that to happen?
Well, a lady just threw her two kids out on the freeway in Los Angeles.
Right, I saw that in the news here too.
Detectives say they believe that this 8-month-old baby was in her 9-year-old sister's arms.
The problem with people that say if there was a God, then why would he allow X, Y, and Z to happen? They're not understanding the most basic thing, and that is this. Free will. Now then you could say, you could go around the circle and say, then why did God give free will? For love. Why didn't God just make us love him? Because you wouldn't have free will. Then why did he give us free will? So we could love. It's that simple. It's not like an age old, like, oh, this is a secret that nobody knows. Right out in the open, folks. That's what they don't understand. Free will and love. We didn't even have to be created. We were created out of love so that we could share in the love that God has, fully fulfilled in the Trinity, but wanting to share that love with a creation. And the only way to do that is free will. Now we're getting to the end of this guy's testimony, back to the original portion.
Please do that. Just think about what we talked about. Maybe have a read of the book. And I'm so honored that you listened to me today. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen.
No problem.
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. Thanks.
Do you know that the Bible speaks of a huge animal that seems to be the dinosaur?
In Job.
Here are all the given characteristics of this huge animal. It was the largest of all the creatures that God had made, was plant-eating, had tremendous strength in its hips, and a tail like a large tree. It had bones strong as bronze and iron, lived among the trees, drank massive amounts of water, and was not disturbed by a raging river. This is written in the book of Job, chapter 40, verses 15 to 24. written nearly 3,000 years B.C. This tract is called Ticket to Heaven. It says if you don't need a ticket to heaven, tear this up if you can. And then it has places where you can put your thumbs so you can try and tear it up. But it's made of unterrible paper. And on the back, it has the gospel.
I love
that. You can get
that.
These at livingwaters.com.
Talk about a great way to get the Bible out there, to get the verses out there, challenging people like that. Look, ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort is a blessing to the gospel. He really is. I should say the gospel is a blessing to him, but you know what I mean. Anyway, let's read on the way out, shall we? We got 4 minutes left. I want to make sure that we don't leave without reading the word as well. Jeremy, what if you had to force your wife to love you? Sometimes I feel like I do. Anyway, the power of one. Acts 8:31. He asked Philip to come and sit with him. As Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch talked about the prophecy from Isaiah, God's spirit moved. Philip shared the gospel, which resonated with his listener. The eunuch asked to be baptized, and he made his simple confession of faith. Changed forever, the Ethiopian rejoiced in Acts 8:39. Two ordinary individuals with the simple relationship of the story, God used one of his followers to minister to one person. He took Philip into the crowds of Samaria to a lone traveler on a country road in order to help a man searching for the meaning. This beautifully illustrates the heart of God. He cares for the individual, and he searches out the one who's the lost sheep, leaving the others in the wilderness, Luke 15:4-7. He deeply loves every one of his children and knows them intimately. When you know Christ, you can reflect this same love. Who do you know who needs to know Christ today? Ask God to lead you to someone who needs him and open the scriptures to him or her. You can rejoice when that individual responds to his call. What an amazing week. Man, what an amazing week we've had here on Rise Up, huh? Might be the best week of collective shows that we've ever had, and it just keeps getting better. I can't wait for the day that we have 50,000 people watching the Word live. Not for the views and the numbers, although those are nice when you're running a business. I would do it if those views didn't even count towards the business. If it was just people hearing the gospel, I'd be happy with that. I'd be joyful with that. But anyway, right now, this is where God wants us. And we're making a difference. I love you guys. God bless you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up in 2 minutes, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. And guess who I got on today? The winner of the West Virginia Republican primary for Senate, Chris Rose. I'll see you guys then. Until then, enjoy your morning with God and Mike Crispy and producer Frankie. All right, guys. I love you. See you later. God bless you. God, you sure be good.